All right. Good morning, I'm Tarek, I'm an addict.
Hey, Tarek.
And we're going to start off with step 2 and 3 and then take a break around the lunch hour. And with that, I give you Jamie and Brittany.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks. Hey, I'm Jamie, I'm a heroin and cocaine addict.
Hey, Jamie. I'm Brittany, I'm a drug addict and alcoholic.
Hey, Brittany.
And I guess, I don't know, how many people were here last night?
Wow.
Oh, okay, perfect.
Awesome. Commitment.
Yeah. Yeah. So we were going to talk a little bit about 1 and 2, but I think we can just do a super abbreviated version. So number 1, everything's really fucked up. You know? We'll keep it that simple.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah, dude, power, you know, power of choice is non-existent. Step 2, what I love about the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, Cocaine Anonymous, the 12-step programs, is that it allows me the freedom. Somebody that's as fucked up as I am, it allows me the freedom. I come in with a lot of resentment. You know, I did at least. The God thing was like, I remember early on picking up white chips, everybody would like circle up to say the Lord's Prayer or Serenity Prayer, and I would be like, I'm out, you know? Like, weed is my higher power. And so, and so it's really cool to be able to be allowed the opportunity to come up with a God of my own understanding, you know, and it doesn't have to look any certain way. And so for me, what that has done for me is given me the ability to seek. You know, I came into the program and I was able to seek, and I sought through many different routes, and then my concept of a higher power continued to change. But what I love is, like, I just have to be willing to believe in something greater than I, you know, and that's easy for somebody like me, because drugs and alcohol, when I'm connected to step 1, it's easy for somebody like me, because drugs and alcohol are absolutely a power greater than myself, and I turn my will and my life over to them all of the time, and I expected them to restore me to sanity, you know, and so, and they did until they didn't, right? And so, so then I kind of always like to go to how it works. Page 60. And it's the ABCs, right? So, though up until now, the whole book is committed to steps 1 mostly, and then a chapter to step 2. And then we go into how it works, right? So it outlines the steps for us, tells us how it works. And so it says, A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And C, that God could and would if he were sought. So again, it's just kind of reminding me, I'm fucked. You know, I can't help myself. No other human being can help me, which I'm real good at, right? Like, all of a sudden I think I'm in a relationship. I was like, I'm not gonna bring all my mess into this one. You know, I'm like really gonna make this work. You know, I'm gonna stop doing dope because they're probably not okay with that. Until all of a sudden, everybody in the house is also doing dope because I brought my chaos and destruction with me. You know, so no human power could have relieved our alcoholism, and that God could and would if he were sought, right? So, want me to keep going? You want to go?
I'll go.
Okay.
I mean, everyone was here last night, but Alec and Lincoln did a really great job. I mean, there were points where I was just like tearing up of describing the second step, and I don't know. There were many times that I wish that human power would get me there, you know, and it seems that it's something that's like easy. You can easily say, like, oh, I understand, like, no one else can get me sober, you know, but I've had to hit pavement a lot with that. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember I was moving. It was either last year or the year before, and I found a journal from when I was in treatment, and like, the first 3 to 4 months that I was in treatment was just like steady. I'd get 2 weeks and then I'd get high, and then 2 weeks and then I'd get high. And I don't know, like, I found like probably the most like authentic, genuine bit of writing during that time. It was like I'd almost like write as if though like people were going to read it, so I'd have to lie. But at this point, I think it was like right after a relapse, and I was like trying to describe my first step. And I don't know, like, I just remember, like, I was reading it, and I wrote, like, I wish I loved my mom enough. You know, and that statement is so heavy. You know, when it comes to the second step and this whole idea of no human power, right? When we look at these the ABCs and, like, just that no human power can, it just, I don't know. It fucks me up.
It's humbling.
Yeah. Because I've never, like, up until I was defeated by heroin and cocaine, there was no, like, I don't know, like, spiritual connection. You know, like, I grew up and I went to an Episcopalian school. I wore little knee socks and little ties, and I don't know, like, I, like, was around, like, priests or fathers or whatever. I don't know. I have no idea, you know, but, like, they would talk about God, and it all seemed like, I was always really into fiction, so it all seemed like kind of like Lord of the Rings, you know, or like Harry Potter. Like, I was like, okay, like, Jesus, you know? So I was like, that's like a cute concept, you know, but I never, like, really could buy into it. So when I came in here, it was really difficult for me because my first attempt at getting sober in 2010, there was absolutely no connection to that I'm beat up. And then when I came in 2011, it was like, everyone else is telling me I'm beat up. You know, like, I'm looking kind of rough, so maybe they're right. Yeah. And then finally I was able to connect to it. You know, like, I 100% believe that that's grace. You know? Yeah, so I think it takes that much. Like, everyone always, like, I've heard it so much in meetings. Like, you have to have work a thorough first step, you know. And I'm like, no, I don't know. It works you.
It sure does.
Like, I needed to get beat up to even, like, be like, okay, yeah, no, I can't. Like, I don't know what can, but I can't.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think continuing to stay connected to the fact that, like, I was powerless, right? I had no choice. So it's not like one day I woke up and chose to get sober. Mm. That is absolutely not what happened to me. That's not what my experience shows, right? Like, I woke up one day and said the same shit that I had said only a million times, right? But I did everything differently than I had ever done before. And, like, that's not me, you know? Like, to just all of a sudden completely do everything opposite and actually follow through with the words, the bullshit, really, that's coming out of my mouth, you know? So it was really, like, it's a phenomenal thing to be moved by grace and by power in that way. And I think, you know, early on, if you come in beat up enough, right, it's like, you know, hit my knees, okay. Like, power greater than myself, whatever. Like, clearly it's not me because I've tried everything. And then I think, too, it's easy as time goes along to all of a sudden think, like, look at all this work I've done.
Yeah.
Look at me turning my will over. You know, like, and that's what happens, right? It's like, I get these different conceptions. And for me, I had an experience where I found religion in my recovery. And so then all it was just like, thank God it was a new set of rules, because Lord knows I can't live by, like, power and intuition. You know what I mean? Like, a sixth sense, that means I have to, like, you know, be connected. And so all it was like a new set of rules for me to follow, and then watch me follow them really well and become super self-righteous and indignant, you know, and then like really be like, look at me and my connection to God and turning my will and my life over, because look at me, like, doing all of these actions with absolutely no heart, you know, because it took a long time, and it continues over and over and over again for me to be this, like, connection and be this period of, like, being humbled by life, being humbled by self, you know, to continue to realize, like, dude, this has nothing to do with me, and you can act all you want, you know, but this isn't about that. You know, it's about the heart. And so, obviously, we have the ABCs, and what it says is being convinced of A, B, and C. We were at step three, which is that we decided to turn our will and our life over to God as we understood him. Just what do we mean by that, and just what do we do? I think it's so funny, right? You'll hear so many things in meetings, in 12-step meetings, that are like, oh, I'm just, you know, I turn it over and then I take it back. And then I just turn it over and I take it back. Again, as though like I have the capacity to be like, oh, this is my will and I'm going to give it to you. But now I know I'm just like this mere little alcoholic human, but I'm going to take it back. You know, like I'm in this tug of war with God. And that has also just not been my experience. So,
yeah, I mean, that kind of language, I think my brain takes it and just twists it. So, like, the whole God's will versus my will, and then people are telling me that God's in me, and then I'm like, I don't know what any of that means, you know? So I have to keep it as simple as possible. It's always funny going through the book with a newcomer because, like, up until this point, it's like 50 pages on the first step. And it's like, okay, cool. We get to talk about like what your little battle looked like, you know, whether that be with meth, whether that be with crack, whether that be with heroin, alcohol, whatever. And we get to like really get into some diagnostic stuff. And then the second step gets really trippy. You're like, okay, all of a sudden we're talking about the moon. We're talking about the Wright brothers. Like, what is going on here? And I'm like kind of like throwing them out. I'm like, here's your solution. Like, get ready, you know? And then the third step, I don't know. Like, I always, the third step always messes me up because the first time that we really get to see, like, this is what my brain does. Like, this is how I act on a daily basis without anything in my system, you know? Like, my mom also, she always used to think that, like, she knew when I was getting high. She knew when I was withdrawing, you know, because that's when it's real nasty. Like, she knew when I was coming down. When I was high, I was, like, completely manageable. She liked me a lot. We hung out a lot.
Completely.
So anyway, at the bottom of 60, it says the first requirement is that we be convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. And for me, it's just as simple as any life without God. You know, on that basis, we are almost always. That's one of the things that I love about this text is that there's never like a hard line drawn. It's never like, you're always out of control drinking, you know, because that's what I used to think, too. It's like, oh, like if I'm able to say no every once in a while, that means that I don't qualify. And that's not true. So almost always in collision with something or somebody, even though our motives are good. That's a really heavy statement. You know, because I believed that my motives were always good. Like, I'm a good person, you know. Most people try to live by self-propulsion. Each person is like an actor who wants to run the whole show, is forever trying to arrange the lights, the ballet, the scenery, and the rest of the players in his own way. Yeah.
Me every day. Every single day. And like, if you guys would just stop acting this way and do what I say, this will all be fine. But like, y'all can't act right. So, you know, collision. Now you've made me be in collision, and it's all your fault.
Yeah, now you've made me mad.
Right. You made me act crazy.
You made me late.
Look at what you've done.
You've made me sad.
It's so true.
You've brought up my entire past.
Right. Right. You've triggered me, okay? And I love this because I do. It's like, it's so real that, like, my motives are good, right? Like if you could look at the internal life that's happening, it's truly just me trying to do the right thing. That's all it always is inside, right? But outside, it's just complete chaos. And you think that I'm literally, like, this tornado out to actually hurt people. Right? Because that's what my actions look like every single time, is that I want to do harm and I want to hurt people. When inside I'm like terrified, I'm driven by fear, you know, and I want to do the right thing and I want to be loved and I want to love and I want to connect. But you can't tell that by my actions. And I think that that's a really cool thing too, just as a side note, is to remember when you see other people and it seems like they're just like, how could they be such a terrible person? You know, it's like, so we're so quick to like jump into judgment of others as well. And it's really cool to be able to pause for a second and go like, no, probably their internal world and their internal existence is like, they're terrified and they just want to be loved and want connection too. Like, their motives are probably good, you know? Self-propulsion, Jesus, that's that is everything to me, you know. I try, I fail, so what do? I try harder. I don't surrender, you know. I don't surrender, I don't stop. I'm like, this time I'm going to do it. This time I'm going to set my alarm 15 minutes earlier. This time I'm going to, like, this time I'm going to do it, right? And all I end up doing is, like, running until the wheels fall off, you know, and I end up exhausted and I end up burnout. And my first sponsor used to always say to me, she's like, Brittany, you know why you're so tired? I'm like, why? She's like, you're doing God's job. And you can't do it, you know? Like, you're not big enough to fill those shoes. And I'm like, well, damn it. So the actor, I can tell you right now, my personal experience with that on a regular basis is always in my workplace, you know, always, because I think that I'm the best, and this whole company would absolutely go to shit if I was not here.
Yeah.
You know, like, there would be no more company if I was not there, which is so funny, right? Because the last company I was at, I thought the same thing, and then I left, and it just went on running. You know? It just kept on going. They didn't need me. I know, it's really weird, you know? And so it's like, that's what continues to happen to me. It's like, none of you guys would be able to get along without me, because I'm the one that's holding this whole place together. When reality is like, no, I'm the one that's bringing most of the chaos, you know, and most of the conflict and most of the confusion, because I'm always trying to run the show, and I'm always trying to get all of you to do exactly what I want you to do and exactly what I think you should do. You know, instead of allowing you to be you and allowing things to be the way that they are and just allowing and giving space for that. So
I don't think that's like a natural thing for me to allow.
No.
Because I just don't. I mean, a couple of people touched on it last night, like God-sized hole, whatever we're up against. Like, it's like I have no security. I have like no grounding. I have no like natural ability to trust. And so, like, I have to, it's like my brain will think, like, A plus B equals C. And so then I have to do A plus B to get to C. And then only every time I'm shown, like, sometimes that works. Sometimes you'll get to C. But a lot of times you'll be at E. And how do we get here? You know? Mine really shows up in my relationship more than anything. Because it's so terrifying to trust another human being. You know, it's just funny to me. Like, I'm like, if I don't do this, she's leaving. I'm like, if I don't behave, if I don't perform, and then of course it comes out in all these weird fucking ways. You know, it's not like, you know, my girlfriend's over there like, God, look at her trying. She's more like, okay, what's going on? She's like, I'm a little scared, you know? And then I'm upset because she's scared. And I'm like, I scared you. I didn't mean to, you know? And it just, it's like fucking cycle. She's like creeping around a corner, like walking on eggshells. I'm like, how dare you? What can you not tell that I'm trying?
Why are you hiding in the bathroom?
Why are you so quiet? God. Yeah, so mine
God, that's good.
Definitely has always been more relationship centered. Whether that be like as a result of my relationship with my parents, I have no idea. And I'll dabble in other areas, like in work. It absolutely is like that's something that's come up recently. So I'm a full-time student, full-time working student. I don't know what I'm doing right now, why I'm working as much as I'm working or whatever I'm doing. And I can sit there and we can, like, talk about how logical it would be for me to, like, have a conversation with my boss who loves me. Like, my boss loves me. He's, like, communicated that many times. And for me to be like, hey, you know, 39 hours a week, a little unmanageable for me right now. I could have that conversation, and I still haven't had that conversation. Because there is a part of me that is tied to the belief that if I don't work this much for this man, that he's not going to like me as much anymore. You know?
Realization.
Yeah, I was like, fuck. I mean, it's just, I love being able to wake up to these things because it's not like I don't already know they're going on. You know, it's just, it's the flip side of the perspective, I guess, for an individual like me, because I will 100% believe that. Like, I believe that if I don't work for my boss 39 hours a week and do all this stuff for him, that he won't like me anymore. You know, I won't be as valued as an employee. I believe that if, I don't even know, like, if I'm not cute enough, my girlfriend's gonna leave me. You know, like, I believe ridiculous things all the time, and I take them as truth. You know, and so when we talk about the third step, when I talk about my life run on self-will, for me, I mean, I would almost say all of it is 100% the way I view the world around me.
Yeah.
You know, and if I'm able to connect that, hey, look here, there might be an alternative. You know, I think Lincoln said it last night where he was like, even just like 5% wrong. You know, typically I'm like 98% wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm very grateful for that. I'm very grateful for that because the life that I lived before this, like for a moment, we'll just take out the heroin and the crack and just look at the way that I viewed the world, right? And it's a very scary, it's a very dark place. You know, I'm very much not okay. You guys are very much going to leave me. You guys are thinking terrible things about me, you know, and it's really, really painful for me. And it never stops being about me. And that's super painful. Like, I hate living like that. But if I can't connect to the fact that that is my natural way of thinking, then I'm screwed because I will believe it. It's like when it's like you don't know you're delusional. I love that concept. So I don't know. When I think of the third step, it really is like, all right, like maybe I have no idea. Like maybe I'm just really wrong here. Because I can tell you what, there's days that I don't look cute and my girlfriend still loves me. Mm. You know, there's days that I tell my boss I'm running a fever and I need to sign out. And he says, okay, yeah. And then sends me a gift card on Grubhub. You know, like, whoa. You know, like revolutionary that like when I hit pavement, people are still there. You know, it's crazy.
It's awesome. Yeah, and so then I love to, right? It says, in trying to make these arrangements, our actor, me, may sometimes be quite virtuous. He may be kind, considerate, patient, generous, even modest and self-sacrificing, right? So in my addiction and my alcoholism, I was, on the other hand, he may be mean, egotistical, selfish, and dishonest, right? So, like, I remember like reading this and I was like, when I first got sober and I was like, I don't know about that first one, like patient, generous, like I have no experience with that. I'm definitely mean, egotistical, selfish, dishonest, because that's what happens when I'm in my active alcoholism and active addiction. Like that is the person that I am 100% of the time. Now, however, get me sober for a little bit of time, and I absolutely show up as kind, considerate, patient, generous, even modest, and self-sacrificing. Right? Like, look at me putting all of these hours in. Look at me, you know, doing all of these things just because I'm so invested in this cause. You know, I'm just a charitable, wonderful human being, even though you're paying me for this, and then I bitch because you're not paying me enough. You know, and like that's how it goes for me, is that you know, I pretend that I'm like this great person just doing these things because I want to do good things, when in the reality is I'm doing these things because I want to achieve something for myself. You know, I want the praise. I want the raise, you know, I want the love, I want the attention, I want all of whatever it is, right? I want people to think a certain way of me, you know, or treat me a certain way. So, you know, I show up, and again, so maybe sometimes on the outside, I think it looks okay. But then it's funny because we go down to the next one, the next paragraph, right? And it says, is it not evident to all the rest of the players that these are the things he wants? right? So, like, I'm not fooling anybody. Everybody's like, wow, there she is. You know what I mean? Like, she's really thinking she's doing great over there. And, like, she's crazy, and we really all just wish she would go home. You know? Like, you're making this miserable for all of us. But we appreciate you, you know? And so that's the thing, is it's, like, it's very clear. It's very clear to the rest of the world when I start playing those games and I start pretending. And instead of allowing power to flow in and through me, right, I'm on that self-propulsion. Because again, I'm, like, I'm that tornado. I'm that tornado. I'm trying to get whatever it is that I want.
It's a real sneaky tornado, too. Mm-hmm. Because I just, like, I was the complete opposite of you. The first time I read through this, I was like, I am kind. I'm so considerate. Patient, generous. Like, yeah. I don't, like, I believe these things about myself. Self-sacrificing. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny, because I remember being in treatment. And I, like, this has been a consistent theme throughout the last, what, 7.5 years. Like, it happens, I would say, biannually, in which I'm able to, like, really wake up to the idea of just how selfish my self-sacrifice is.
Yeah.
Like, it's so bad.
Yeah.
Because I really, well, I'm like, oh, my God, look at me.
That's like, so great.
I'm going. Like, even last night, y'all. So, I'm almost 27, and I still have spring breaks, thank God. And my girlfriend got us a trip. Like, she got us a cabin up in Blue Ridge, and we're going to fish and play with our kittens all week, and I'm super excited. And literally, like, all day yesterday, I'm, like, writing out lists. I'm like, okay, like, this is the food that I need to get from Publix. Like, these are things that I need to grab around the house. And so, like, we get into bed last night, and I'm like, what would you do without me? You know, and I, like, heard it come out. Like, I was like, hey, acknowledge it. Like, look at what I've packed everything. And she's like, I don't know what I would do without you. You know, and it's like, it like comes out before I can even stop it today. But I'm so grateful that I'm able to even see it, you know? Because before I'd be like, why the fuck is she not acknowledging this?
Yeah.
You know, like, I'd be quiet. And then, like, the next 2 days, I'm going to punish you. Because how dare you not recognize how hard I've worked to pack all of this up? So, yeah, I mean,
so just participate. You know?
So now, like, I just demand it.
Like, do I not get... I need a present for this.
I was like, grovel?
No, seriously.
Like, why are you not on the ground?
We joke... My girlfriend and I joke... My fiancé. Oh.
Oh.
We joke about it all the time, right? And it's like, I'll clean and I'll be like, oh, thank God for me. You know? Thank God for me. You know? It's like, oh, I get home a little earlier than you and I cook dinner. And, like, as you walk in, I'm just like... You know? Because that's how it goes. Is it's like, look how great I've done feeding us. You know?
Oh my God. I mean, I do it in my friendships too. It's just hilarious. It's not nearly, I'm not nearly as emotionally invested because that's, like, not my future and it's not your job to, like, you know what I mean? Like, if you choose not to love me anymore, then that's fine. I'll find new friends. Like, you don't leave, though. But with friends, it's so funny. Like, I have a bunch of, like, normal little law school friends. And they're, like, a little bit younger, and they're super sweet. And, like, I felt guilty for understanding the topic for our midterm a little bit better than the rest of them. But also pretty prideful about it. And so I'm driving to school and I was like, does anyone need anything from Starbucks? As if, like, I've got money to blow, you know? And so I, like, stop. I'm, like, ordering all these iced coffees and frappuccinos. And I'm walking into school with all these things. And they're just like, oh, yeah, thanks. And just, like, take their coffee and go. And I'm like, I took time out of my morning to get you Starbucks. You know what I mean?
Even though you didn't ask me to, I asked you.
Right. Like, this is a favor. I don't know what that is at all. I don't know what a favor is.
Yeah, so then, you know, the couple other things I want to touch on this page, and then we'll move on, is he not a victim of the delusion that he can wrest satisfaction and happiness out of this world if he only manages well? Right? Like, if I can only do better. if I can only manage well, if I can only discipline myself, which is one of the things I always talk about because it's a joke, you know, then I truly, the delusion, which is what I truly believe, right? Because when I'm delusional, I don't realize I'm delusional, you know? I really believe that, like, I will be okay. I will be satisfied. I will be happy. I will be content. I will be at peace if I just do enough. You know, and I love what they use the word rest, right? Like, so, like, wrestle. Like, I can genuinely wrestle out of life these things if I just work hard enough. And then, is he not, even in his best moments, a producer of confusion rather than harmony? That is all I do. I go everywhere producing confusion, you know, thinking, like, again, look at me bringing all of these people together, you know? You know?
Well, it's so sad because, like, they talk about, like, satisfaction. Like, my like... In my mind, my demands are not that high. It's not like I'm like, you know, like I'm just trying to make everyone happy. Like, be happy with me. Like, we're all happy. I'm so caffeinated.
I love it. Ah! God, that's good. So that, of course, like the best part. Well, it's all the best part. But selfishness. Selfishness, self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our troubles. Driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity, we step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us, seemingly without provocation, but we invariably find that at some time in the past, we have made decisions based on self, which later placed us in a position to be hurt. I was thinking about this last night. So my old boss, when I left that job that I thought would totally not last without me, like it would actually crumble as soon as I walked out the doors, it didn't. It kept going on. So then I was really upset about that, right? So I was like, I'm going to call the city. I'm calling zoning. I'm going to get their asses shut down. You know, and I know, like, I know my mom, like, I know my mother. I just know this woman, right? So I'm, like, going on my freak out, and I'm like, this is what I'm going to do. I don't care what you say. Like, you're not going to stop me. You know, probably knowing that I really actually wasn't going to do it, but I was talking shit like I was, you know? So, of course, she took it as truth. Then I get a phone call from this ex-boss of mine and was like, hey, what's going on? I caught word that, you know, you were planning on... And I was like, my fucking mom, how dare her? You know? Like, what in the hell is her problem? Going to him and telling him to watch his back. You're my mom. You know what I mean? You're on my side here. I chose for you. And like, and thankfully, right? Like, but that's what this is about. Is like, dude, I placed myself in the position. I was there again as a tornado, spewing all of this venom, right? And she was like, I should probably warn them. You know? And then I'm mad because I have to answer for my actions, and I have to answer for my words, and I have to answer for my threats, really. You know? Because how dare she, like, maybe she, I mean, she was doing the right thing. And that's hard. You saw how hard that was for me to say. You know, but like that is what this stuff is, right? Is like it comes around and it slaps me in the face. And then I'm like all indignant, like, how could this have possibly happened? Why did you do this to me, right? When it's like, no, the reality is like all of my actions, all of my words have put me in this position that this has now come back around and I have to deal with it. You know, and that's what this right here is talking about, is like we have made the decisions based on self, because in that moment, spewing all of that anger and hatred and threat and poison and venom made me feel better in the moment. Yeah. You know, it made me feel superior in the moment, right? It gave me that false sense of power for just a second, and it was a decision based on self. You know, it fueled self. And then when it came back around and hit me in the ass, you know, it was like, what do you put yourself here, you know? And sometimes I realize that. Thank God that was one of the situations where I was like, I'm about to call her right now. Why did you, you know? And I was like, Brittany, you put yourself in that position, you know, like you did this. And so I was able to stop and pause and see that. But majority of the time I'm not, you know, majority of the time it takes me a while before I'm like, this was you. This was you again, not anybody else, you know? Every single time. And that's what it talks to us about. It's like, almost everything in my life came out of a time where I wanted something. I took certain actions because I thought that was it was going to give that to me. And then something goes wrong or bad, right? It doesn't end up the way that I thought that it should. And then people retaliate, you know? And then I'm like the victim. How could they do this to me, you know? And the reality is that I did it to myself only every time. So I love that, selfish and self-centeredness, driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity, because that's what happens, right? It doesn't go off the way that I want it to, so now I'm in self-pity because I am the victim, and the world has totally just done me wrong, and, like, look at how hard my life has been.
Oh, my God.
It's my mom's fault, and it's always my mom's fault, and, you know, it's my job's fault, and how dare they give me only a $2,000 bonus. It should have been 10, you know? It's just fucking insanity all of the time because of the selfishness and self-centeredness and because I'm driven. And when I'm driven, I am powerless. I have no way of stopping, you know, unless I do what this book says, which is like sit your ass down for a second, put pen to paper, write this out, and then allow God to move. You know, outside of that, I've got nothing. So.
And I think the hardest concept in this, I don't know, in this book for me to grasp is this, you know, because, like, I couldn't understand, like, how not to demonize what I'm up against, you know, like, how not to criminalize this. When I was in treatment, my nickname was Self. And, like, I did not, like, I was like, God, I'm trying so hard. Like, I would be, like, more self-sacrificing so that I was less self-centered. And, like, I don't understand how I'm selfish and, like, what's going on here. And it's super sad because, like, on my own willpower, I can definitely not make myself less self-centered. It's super sad. And it's super sad because I can't even see what's going on. You know, it's like I really do believe my motives are good, y'all. Like, it's not like I'm like, I want everyone to be miserable. Suffer with me, guys. You know, like I said, I'm trying to make everybody happy. I'm trying to be happy. I just want us all to feel safe and warm, protected. That's why I did heroin, you know. So when I got here, and it's funny because every 6 months or so, I get smacked in the face. That's literally been my experience. And the last woman I went through the work with, I don't know, she just, like, put it in such a way of, like, I didn't feel bad that my troubles were of my own making. It made sense now. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm not trying to make trouble. I just do, you know. And, like, people used to talk to me, and they'd be like, I don't know, people that, like, probably understood this concept a whole lot better than I did. They'd be like, yeah, you know, like, I was really selfish, and I'm sorry that I hurt you. And I'm like, God, you're so selfish and so mean. You know, and I, like, wanted to demonize that because that's how I treated myself, you know? So this whole idea that, like, the root of this disease for me is based in self-centeredness is a really hard concept for me because I feel like I should be able to control it. I feel like I should be able to, like, work through it, work past it, you know, be really giving and kind. So this whole idea that sometimes they hurt us seemingly without provocation, I'm like, no, without provocation. Like, I did not provoke this. I did nothing to you to make you behave this way, you know. Yeah, I mean, our troubles we think are basically of our own making. They arise out of ourselves, and the alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run riot, though he usually doesn't think so.
Oh, weird.
I'm usually not thinking so. Mm-hmm. You can pretty much say always for me.
Yeah.
I'm never like, oh, God, this is going to go badly. Let's see how this works out. I'm like, okay, this is exactly how it's going to work, and she's going to love me forever, and my boss is going to keep me on, and this is going to be great, and I'm going to get a raise, and, like, God, it's such a bitch. Mm-hmm. So then it says, above everything, we alcoholics must be rid of this selfishness. We must, or it kills us. God makes that possible. And it's like, all this whole time, I'm like, I thought heroin was going to kill me. You know, like, I thought crack was going to kill me.
Right.
I thought Robitussin was going to kill me. So this whole idea that it's like, it's all this.
Self.
Like, it's what I've got going on inside
it's
of me.
It's
going
to kill me. Yeah.
Yeah, it's awful. It's like a really hard pill to swallow. Mm-hmm. Like, up until this point, I'm like, yep, definitely defeated. And then I'm like, wait a second.
I have an idea.
Yeah. Watch me go. My motives are good.
I have an idea. Yeah.
I mean, they continue to go through that. They talk about, I mean, I just related to all of this so much. Like, many of us had moral and philosophical convictions galore, but we could not live up to them.
Cannot do it. I want to, like, meditate 3 hours a day.
Oh, yeah.
I want to pray. I want to, like, stay so on top of inventory. I want to be loving and kind and help all of the people.
I want to, like, let you do what you need to do.
Provide space for others. Like, I want to do all of these things, right? Like, I truly want to. I don't want to be a selfish, self-centered brat, you know, but I am. And that's the whole point, is that, like, regardless of whether I want to or not, just like drinking, I wanted to stop shooting dope far before I actually did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a long time I was using drugs and alcohol against my own will. I didn't want to do it, but I could not. You know, and so that happens with my selfishness and my self-centeredness as well. It's like, I really want to be a good person. I really want to love others well. You know, I really want to share, like, grace and compassion and love, but I can't, you know. And so I love where it says, like, we couldn't. We had to have God's help. We had to have God's help, you know, which means we had to quit playing God.
How?
You know?
How do I, what?
Yeah. I'm not playing. I am.
Is this a game?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is my life.
So it says, you know, why? Because it didn't work, right? My experience all the way up until this part of the book shows me that it did not work. It does not work. Every time that I try it, it doesn't work, you know? So then instead of me being the director, I'm just the actor, playing the role God assigns, not the role I assign, and allowing everybody else to play the role God assigns them as well. You know, I love all of these words that it uses. God's the director. He's the principal. We are his agents, which means I am just doing his work. I'm carrying it out. He's the father. We are his children. Most good ideas are simple, and this concept was the keystone of the new and triumphant arch through which we pass to freedom. This is the thing that holds it all up. You know, like, without this, like we talked about, I crumble. You know, unlike the business, when it doesn't have me. I was not the keystone. It doesn't crumble. You know. But like, I do, my foundation, my spirit, without God, without this third step, you know, the whole thing crumbles. So... Then it's the third step promises, which are really freaking beautiful. When we sincerely took such a position, right? Again, not like out of selfishness and self-centeredness, like watch me turn this over to God.
Watch
so
me let
I'm
it go.
So now I'm going to get all of these awesome things, you know? But it's like, no, when I sincerely say, like, I'm going to stop, like, here I go. Here you go, God. You know, here I am. I'm willing to do this process. I'm willing to allow you to move me. I'm willing to walk through the pain and take my hands out of some shit. And again, I'm not going to be able to do that. But in my submission and willingness to that process, some really beautiful things happen, right? So we had a new employer being all powerful. He provided what we needed if we kept close to him and performed his work well. All his work is like, dude, loving him and loving people. Right? Maximum service to God and our fellows, and that's it. Established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves. So weird. Our little plans and designs. More and more, we became interested in seeing what we could contribute to life, right? Like, I become more and more interested in seeing others recover, right? And showing up and, like, actually holding space for other human beings and seeing what I can actually do to be of service and help people. As we felt new power flow in, as we enjoyed peace of mind, as we discovered we could face life successfully, which is something I had never done before, right? As we became conscious of his presence, we began to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, or the hereafter. We were reborn. And I love that too so much because it talks about being conscious of his presence. Like that's what this whole thing is about. It's not about a set of beliefs. It's not about a set of rules, right? It's just about the conscious awareness of the power that's already there. That is already there, that has always been there. And I don't know if you guys have ever had that experience, but it's like all of a sudden when you become conscious of the power and the presence of God in your life, you're able to look back and see all of the times you were asleep to it. But you're like, whoa. There he was.
Yeah.
Oh, and he was there too. Oh, and he was there when I was in that jail cell. And he was there when I almost died because I pissed myself. And, you know, like he was there when my body was shutting down and I had tubes down my throat. Like he was there every single time. And it wasn't until I was able to wake up to it through this process, you know, that you really are able to see the conscious awareness throughout life, you know? And that's when I know, like, I'm okay, is when I can just see God doing what God does. Because mm-hmm. It's always happening. It's just, am I awake to it or am I sleepwalking? You know, every single time. So, and I love we were reborn. You know? Like, old self had to die. That had to die because that was real messy and that was not good. And so I got to, you know, I was able to be reborn, which I think is a really beautiful concept, too.
Yeah, I think my favorite... I don't know. I love analogies. I love, like, being able to picture stuff. And I forget who told me this. I think I might have been in treatment. It might have been when I, like, had first come into AA. But is it salmon that swim upstream?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you're salmon, girl. You know? And so, like, I picture, like, this beautiful stream. It's just going. And here I am, like, hitting a rock. And I'm just beating myself, you know? And it's, like, it's all I know to do. Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't know.
The thought of just, like, letting go and going with the flow of life is, yeah. Like, what?
Well, it's so terrifying because you're still going to hit a rock.
Yeah.
I just don't know when I'm going to hit the rock.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going to hit it. And that's terrifying. But it's, like, if I'm... being a salmon, I'm just gonna hit it. I know what's gonna happen, you know.
Yes.
So I don't know, I always think about that because I'm just like, I'm beating myself bloody again, like that's interesting. And there's just been a whole lot more forgiveness with it today,
yeah.
Than there ever was before.
It's the human condition,
yeah,
that's what it says, right? It's like, but we're just the extreme example. There's nobody that's free of this, you know what I mean? We're just, it's turned way up, and yeah. Then for some of us, even more than that, you know, Jamie and I, for example. You know.
Good morning.
Yeah. And so it's just the human condition and it's not something to be ashamed of. And I think it's really easy, right, to be like, look at how terrible of a person I am.
Oh.
Just rotten at my core.
It makes it so much worse.
Yeah.
Like that's like always the next step for me. Like I'm like, oh my God, now self-pity. Like,
yeah.
Like God, I wish I wasn't this bad of an alcoholic.
Yeah.
God, I'm just so full of self-centeredness. So the best description that I have it written in my book, the best description for third step prayer, for the third step decision in itself, that I like really, really related to was resignation. Like, here is my resignation letter. I'm giving my resignation effective immediately.
I'm no longer the boss.
Yeah, not 2 weeks notice because I will take it back. But I love that because it's, I don't know. It's just saying, like, okay, yeah, there's just something else. Like, here we go. You know, for a while I thought, like, okay, I've made this third step decision, so this means, like, now I'm in God's will. Everything's going great. You know, like, this is a whole new life. I've been reborn. And then I would get smacked again, and I'd be like, wait a second. Like, I'm still selfish? Excuse me? I made the third step decision. So it was just really confusing for me for a long time. I was like, God, I must not be working this program right. I must not be able to connect to God right. Like, God, self-centeredness is so bad. And that's what I mean when taking you, like when you actually take the criminalization out of it,
mm-hmm.
You know, like for any, like, I don't know, I have like some major health issues, but it's like I don't make myself feel bad for those health issues. Now, alcoholism, I can make myself feel real bad for because I'm selfish and self-centered.
Right.
So it just continues this awful cycle.
So let me just think about me and how bad I
God,
am
yeah.
all of the time. You know.
And then they come up with more plans and designs for how I can be better.
Watch me fix this.
I'll fix it. I'll make everybody happy again. Don't you worry.
And I love it. It says, relieve me of the bondage of self. right? So that I can better do your will. Not relieve me of the bondage of self so that I can be comfy. You know, which is what I think it's easy to think as well. It's like, no, I'm like, God, why haven't you relieved me of the bondage of self? I'm still in a ton of pain. Mm. And he's like, oh yeah, cool, but look how you're using that pain to help other people.
Well, and like,
you're
natural,
relieved, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, my natural state of being. Like, I want to be as comfortable as possible at all times.
Yeah.
Again, why I did heroin.
Selfishness. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, I want to be nappy and like a little sleepy. Yeah. Curled up.
I have a cozy. Cozy blankie.
You know, that's like how I want my life to be. So when I'm doing this new thing that is completely against how I live, why do I think I'm going to be comfortable doing that? Like, I'm like, God, this should feel good. Like, surrender should feel good. When I like think about war and when somebody's finally waving the white flag, things are not well.
Not good.
Like, everyone's beat up.
Yeah, it's not good.
People are dead.
Lots of loss.
Pain. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, please, we're done here. Like, I give up. And I forget that every single time because it never feels good. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't like it.
I know. And then the last thing, it says this was only a beginning. Taking this step was only a beginning. So, like,
I know that
sounded like a lot. You've just begun. You know, but it says, though if honestly and humbly made, an effect, sometimes a very great one was felt at once. Y'all, the first time I took the third step prayer, I, like, took it on my knees with my sponsor, didn't feel an effect at once. So I was like, I don't think I did it right. So I went to the bathroom and I took it again. You know what I mean? And then I was like, all right, I'm going to go on a walk. I'm going to like do this again. You know what I mean? Like, I'm missing something. Do I have the words right? Like, am I positioned correctly? Like, what is happening? Because I don't feel it. You know? And I think it sounds crazy and it sounds funny, but like for a newcomer, it's so real, right?
Oh, I
like,
still go there right now. I'm like, where is it? It's like flow into me. Like, why is it not happening?
It's not working. I worked with 3 sponsees today and I still feel like shit.
God, you know? I've written so and much inventory. Like,
why am I not? Why don't I feel okay? And it's like, because that's how I do this, right? Relieve me of the bondage of self so that I can selflessly help others. That's all it's about. And then, of course, it says next, we launched. Last time I went through the work, because Lindsay knows me very well, she was like, it was like April, and she was like, girl, we're launching, but we're not launching into October. You know, like, we're launching into, like, right now. I need you to go start writing. So, of course, I finished. It was, like, October. I was like... Look at that. Self-fulfilled prophecy. I don't know, you know? But I think that that's what's really great, right? It's like the third step means nothing if I'm not willing to continue to take the action and go through the rest of these steps.
You know, that's what, like, gets me there.
Continue to do the work. Right. So I know that I'm powerless. I have to believe that something can restore me. I'm powerless and insane. I have to believe that something can restore me, right? I have to quit playing God. How do I quit playing God? By putting pen to paper and doing the rest of what's outlined here. So, yeah. I love y'all. That's all I got.
Oh, God.
All right, we're going to take a 15-minute break.